2 on Wilde and Tausch. We're starting a little late because I'm going to be honest with you, Homer. I blame Jason a lot for our clock management. I'm running the show today, and we're as bad as we've ever been. So yeah. At some point, I can't blame the coach. I can't blame others. I got to look at old T and say, maybe it's my fault. Might be me.
I'll join that club.
Listen, man, I've listened to your show for years. I learned from watching you, Dad. I learned from watching you.
Better than Grandpa. Okay, yeah, well, I'll take the blame.
All right.
I'm fine.
So, you know stuff. Like, you're a smart sports guy.
Thank you.
College, you're the voice of Marquette. You do a great job. You've won some Emmys, I believe. And I want you to help me solve
this. I won one Emmy as the daily sportscaster in the Midwest for the 5 o'clock sports on Channel 12.
I think you got robbed. You did it 35 years. I think you should have got more. I think you got robbed. But I don't know any of your competition. So take that for what it's worth. Yes. Help me understand this.
Yeah.
You're a college athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the opportunity to go back to a university. And with the jumping off point of this, to kind of get into why I'm bringing this up, Nizer Forkerin, who had a really good season. I know Hunter Vaughn thought he stunk last year. I thought he had a really good season for the Wisconsin Badgers. He played some Division II football prior. And the eligibility for NCAA athletes now, nobody knows what the hell's going on anyways, if we're being fair. You had a COVID
Correct.
Year. You got medical redshirt. You got guys playing 8-9 years. And I got into a very heated argument with a really good buddy of mine who's usually takes my side on most topics because he's a reasonable, smart sports fan, which most, I think, of our listeners are. Why should Nizer Forkerin, who maybe isn't going to be a pro, I don't know, he could. But if the University of Wisconsin or Tennessee or somebody wants to give him $300,000 or $400,000 to continue playing college football, who the heck is supposed to stop him? Why would we limit? It's the only job in the world that I know of outside of term limited politicians that you cannot, if an employer wants to hire you, you are no longer allowed to. Help me understand why I think this is crazy.
I don't know exactly what your question is. They're debating whether Division II counts as years. You used to have 4 years of eligibility.
I guess the question is, why are there eligibility requirements? If you want to say you're going to come here for 4 years, great, and then you move on. Guys that are going to be NFL players will move on. But what about the guys that aren't good enough to play in the NFL but are really good in college? Why can you not say, you know what, I can't earn $500,000 out in the real world?
Oh, you could keep playing forever?
You can keep playing until the universe is like, we got a younger guy that's cheaper. Yeah, you can keep playing.
Fine. Yes, that's okay. Professional sports. That's fine. That's AAA.
Is college football not going to be AAA baseball now? Are we not doing that? And this is the argument that Brad had. And Brad, again, very smart guy. Well, you're limiting the opportunities of these young guys. No, the young guys have to start at North Dakota or some of these smaller schools and build
their
way up. If you're a great talent at 18 or 19.
Well, no, but the idea was you're there as a student and you're saying you're not. You're just representing the school, correct?
You're being paid to do a profession. Did you not hear the UCLA's coach?
I did.
It was basically came out and said, you're getting paid now and you're not delivering. The days of, Johnny, you just keep working. And you develop and you do this, but make sure you go to school and all that. Those days are gone, man. Like the 80s and 90s, it's over. This is no longer amateur. It is professional sports masquerading as amateur. I mean, really?
No, you're 100% right. The dilemma is the following. At what point will fans be disillusioned because these players are no more student athletes or athlete students than I am? They're just representative. It would be as if the Packers were now the team of UW Green Bay. Like, they don't go there, but they're representing the school. And, you know, just like the kid, who's the kid that the lawsuit is over? The defensive back.
Xavier Lucas.
Right. So the issue has been fundamentally that they've decided, Supreme Court did, that you have to treat an athlete the same as any student. Like, a student can go to as many schools as they want, transfer whatever they want. My understanding is that he had an agreement with Wisconsin and then wanted to go in the transfer portal, which he couldn't do, but then he just dropped out of school and enrolled at Miami. And the NCAA said, yeah, you can do that. The questioning, why do we even have the transfer portal? Now, my assumption is he can go to school at Miami. It's yet to be determined whether he can play football because he has an agreement. What?
He's out.
Well, I know. He can practice. Right. If he plays, then the transfer portal becomes irrelevant anyway. You don't need it.
Here's what I
don't
say.
I don't think he'll play, but I'd say
no, I think he will play.
All right.
I think when you look at this, the fact that you've let it get to this point where there's no governing body with any real regulatory power is a shame on everybody. I want college football to be the way it used to be. It ain't happening.
Yeah,
and
it can't.
Until somebody steps
makes
up,
too much money.
I just want to understand. I want it to be 4 years and then you go on. That is what I want. That's not where we're at. And my question to you is, are you okay with a 26-year-old playing guard for Tennessee against an 18-year-old rush end? Or do you want, what do you want? What do you think? How do you think this should shake out? Because if your kid is a good player earning $500K a year on Marquette's basketball team, which, again, your basketball skills, that's why you're an announcer.
Right.
But, and he can't play anywhere else. He can't play in Europe. He gets this opportunity. He is a really good guard. And Shaka loves him. He's a defensive guy. He can shoot threes, whatever. Why shouldn't he be able to do that? He can't earn that money anywhere else. Marquette wants him back. Marquette's not forced to have him. Marquette thinks, I'm getting great value at $500K for Lenny True. What say
could.
You, Lenny
now,
True?
No, I can't say I like that, but I can't. This is all, we're all just waiting until the court case is resolved, I think in April or whatever, and then the schools are going to have to come up with $2.4 billion when they do that. And then the schools, but then the schools are going to have the ability to decide what they want to do. So right now, it's just now. Is it a mess? Yes. How to resolve it? I don't have any idea. It all depends on fans. They've made so much money that they've been told by the Supreme Court, you got to give the players more than you're giving them. So now what do you do? And when do fans get upset and say, hey, these people aren't student athletes. They're representatives of the school. If you still have fans and they still like it, then literally, you can do anything.
Homer, are they student athletes right now?
No,
in your opinion?
No, they're professionals.
In a sense, I still think, if I can jump in for a second, as a recent University of Wisconsin-Madison graduate, they are still, in some sense, student athletes. One of my friends tutored Jake Chaney, the linebacker. I was in class with Danny Davis my freshman year.
Okay.
Who else? Muma Jong Mehta. I mean, I just went to church with Muma. But still, I feel like you have to find a happy medium.
All right, what about the last year? What's going on? No, you can't find a happy medium because if I was an athlete, I wouldn't go to class. Why would I go to class? I'm making all my money playing whatever sport. I'm going to work on getting better at that sport because that's how I'm going to make the most amount of money.
Yes, but there's some people, there's some athletes that aren't going to go pro and are smart and got into the University of Wisconsin for a reason that want a career outside of sports.
Fine, they can go to class then, but you can't.
They'll go, yeah.
Fine, but then how about the ones that
don't? You don't have to mandate it.
Yeah, but what I feel like, Homer, like you said, I feel like the fans and the alumni are going to eventually stop supporting these kids if they aren't going to the school that they went to, and they're just wearing the Motion W just to wear it.
Well, that's what they got to figure out. And we're not even at that process to know until this whole situation changes,
Riley,
when the schools will have the ability to do what they want with the players and pay the players. After this thing is resolved, probably in April, they say.
So, Riley, Nizer Forkering.
Yes.
He wants to come back. Do you let him come back?
Yes, 100%.
Okay, so
All right.
There are Masters.
Right, he's using the Division II issue, correct?
Yes, I think if
he is,
they,
yes.
Junior if they college, allow, they're using that too.
If they allow Diego Pavia to come back and play for Vanderbilt because he had years in JUCO and they gave him an immediate injunction, I don't see why. And the only reason was because he didn't have the same NIL opportunities in JUCO. I see no reason why they shouldn't allow Forkurin to come back immediately and play for the Badgers. It wouldn't make sense.
Well, we shall find out.
But that
on
doesn't.
That. Find
but
out.
That just shows it, how big a mess it is. Yeah.
It's a hot mess, and until it gets figured out, there are no rules. And that's my point. You're trying to arbitrarily throw rules at people when there are no rules. And it's been proven with the portal. Where there are rules is Prize Picks, the best place to get real money sports action. 10 million members, billions of dollars. Homer loves it. I love it. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to everybody. It's simple to play, more or less, on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your money. And the big game is almost here, and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last football game of the season with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash. Prize Picks is giving away, they say, a free pick. It's not free, but it is close to it, where one of the starting quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, will only need to throw 1 yard to win your first entry
in the big game.
They also have – that's fun. Check out the promos tab to tail any of our Super Sweat Millie winners big game lineups. If you tail a lineup that goes 3 for 3, you can win a split of up to $1 million in promo funds. Download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 instantly after you play that first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game. We got Rob Domofsky coming up next. He wrote a couple of different interesting articles over the last week or two. We'll also find out what his take on Campanelli is, or if the Packers are going to be in the market for a big defensive lineman, where Green Bay's at. We can't get enough Green Bay Packer action. Rob Domofsky will join us next. It's Wilde and Tausch. What a fun show. Different, but fun. Very different. Rob Domofsky does a great job for ESPN. He joins us. He joins you. He does the pregame. Great teammate. I wonder what he would think, like, with his kids playing college hoops in the Nizer Forkurin. Rob Domofsky, first off, thanks for joining us without Jason this morning.
Who needs him?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we do. He misses, but Rob, before we get into the Packers and Campanelli and all the other stuff, yep. What's your take? You have two. Your other Roan is going to be playing. Where is he playing next year?
Eau Claire.
He's going to Eau Claire to play. So let's say he ends up getting a scholarship to Valpo, and he is a good player, but he's not an NBA guy. He's not a Europe guy. And Valpo, after 5 years, is like, you know what, Roan? You've really come on. We want to give you $250K to be your sixth or seventh year. I want you to keep playing because you're a good, steady player. We're a good team.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't he be able to do that?
I think both of my kids would say that's ridiculous. You get 4 years of college, maybe five if you're lucky, and that's it. They're both like pretty realistic about, like, you know, like, that's not what it's for, kind of a thing. I don't know. Like, then just don't go to college anymore and just make it a feeder league or this. Remember the old CBA? Homer, looked in lacrosse.
Yeah, lacrosse, Oshkosh, Torchy Clark.
Was the basketball league that Isaiah Thomas, wasn't that the CBA?
That was the one he ruined. Yeah, he shut that baby down.
Yeah, into the ground, I would not be for that at all. I don't think your kids would either? I don't think so. I don't think I'd be for it at even the highest level.
Wait a minute, Dad. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If they're making $250,000, you're going to be for everything. Come on.
No, he's not. Yeah. That's what I just asked.
I know. I don't think he's telling the truth. It wouldn't mean it's not an education.
Money isn't everything. Money can't buy happiness. But it buys a wave runner. Have you ever seen anybody
say that? Come on. All right. So you're at that age and you're a golfer. All right. And you can make $250,000 a year. You don't care about anything. Just keep giving me the. What do I got to do to keep getting the $250,000 a year, right?
Who, who was the NBA player who went back to college and played golf? Was it J.R. Smith?
Somebody and, do that, yes.
It was J.R. Smith.
He wasn't making 250 grand.
Yeah, he didn't need the money, but no. I like, at some point, you have to move on with your life.
Okay. All That's right. fair. And you know what's ironic, Homer? You get so mad at me when I tell you what you think, and you just told Rob he doesn't believe what he just thinks. So just keep put that away in your memory bank.
Hold on. I gave him a chance to respond, and he said, no, I'm you wrong. Told him,
you told him what he thought.
Right. And that, but I gave him a chance to respond, and he said, I was wrong. Fine. No. You never gave me a chance to respond.
Okay.
Go on. Ironic. We can move on.
It's ironic. We should. All right, Rob, you on ESPN Plus put out a really good piece. Biggest offseason priority, pass rush. You got the under-the-radar offseason priority. There's a lot of interesting things there. Kind of take us through some of your thoughts on that.
Man, I wrote that so long ago, Tausch. I didn't even realize it ran. So, look, pass rush is their biggest issue, I think. And it's why – obviously why they made a change at the defensive line coach, right? I mean, like, you know, unfortunately sometimes whether a position, you know this better than me, what impact position coaches have, but when a group underperforms, the position coach is going to pay the price for it. And like, I mean, who was the running backs coach that got fired because Eddie Lacy couldn't stay in shape, right? Like, was that really the running backs coach fault? No, it was a former Sam Gash, I believe it was Sam Gash, former NFL running back. And that doesn't mean like Jason Rebrovich isn't a good coach. He just wasn't able to get the most out of these guys. And so, you know, they're going to bring in, bringing in DeMarcus Covington, although that I reported that yesterday, although that deal is not signed yet. So you never know with these coaching things, you know, until it's signed, sealed, and delivered. And with Campanelli's move yesterday, you know, that could shake things up as well. So, but you know, like Brian Gutekunst, I think he's done a really good job in a lot of areas. I don't know that he's done a great job acquiring pass rushers.
Huh. Zadarius Smith, Preston Smith, you didn't think that was a good job?
I should amend that through the draft.
Okay. So yeah. With the Rashawn Gary piece of this, so you do not believe they can just run this back and hope development occurs?
I don't think so. I think that would be a big mistake. You know,
excuse me, they got a new position coach there. Would you elaborate on that?
I don't want to go down this road again.
You mean with the same players, right, Tausch?
Yes, I do, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
No. I mean, look, you would hope Rashawn Gary has a better year because you've seen it from Rashawn Gary before. I don't know that you can just hope Lucas Van Ness is going to get better. We haven't seen better. Kingsley Enagbare is probably a good number four or five, but right now he's the number three, right? And, like, I don't think that's probably good enough. Brenton Cox is a good number five or six, but right now he's number four. Like, I just don't think that's good enough to be an elite level pass rush like teams. I mean, look, you know, Philadelphia has a strong front, and we saw that.
So, Rob, it's not going to be enough just to grab a first round pick, right? Is it going to be acquiring somebody that has proven it? Because I don't see Goody. I know everybody is talking Myles Garrett, you know, Max Crosby. I think Hendrickson is a little bit of an older guy. That's the guy. He is a great pass rusher. He's consistently done it for Cincinnati. But that's not Goody's MO. So where are they going to go about doing this?
Yeah, I mean, probably the draft and maybe a mid-level veteran guy. I mean, they have some money to spend. You know, them acquiring Preston and Zadarius, usually guys like that don't hit the market. And for whatever reason, those guys did. And you can talk about, you know, the reasons why, you know, maybe with Preston it was inconsistency. Maybe it was Zadarius, could personality-wise and wore out his welcome. But oftentimes those guys don't hit the market. So it's not going to be easy, Tausch, but somehow, some way, they've got to improve in that.
And you don't think Goody – do you agree with me? Goody is not going to go and make a big splash trade. Is that something you think?
No, not a trade. No, I agree with you. I don't think he's trading.
Go ahead, Homer.
Well, no. So they're pretty much going to be the same team. If they get to, they're going to draft a pass rusher. or see if there's a free agent that's a deal,
who's
kind of like last year.
Marshall, Rob? Who's the kid from Marshall that's all over social media at the Senior Bowl that killed that right tackle? You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've seen some tweets from the Senior Bowl about pass rushers, but I'm always leery of that because, like, as you know, Tausch, like, pass rushing in practice is totally different than pass rushing in the game.
Yes, it is.
Right? Like,
a lot more space.
And I'm guilty of it. Like, I'm guilty of making a big deal about the one-on-one pass rush drill. But, I mean, how many times – and it's something fun to talk about during training camp. But how many times do you see a guy just absolutely killing it, just killing it in the one-on-ones and then never does anything? Mike Green, I believe, is the name of the guy from Marshall.
But Rob, the Packers are huge in the Senior Bowl and always have been historically, right?
Always have been. You look at their drafts last year or last couple of years. I mean, the majority of the guys that they've been taking have been at the Senior Bowl. So yeah, that's a huge training ground and scouting ground for those guys. No question.
I mean, the question I asked was based on – hold on, I'll be done here in a second, Tosh.
Right.
Was based on the moves. But I'm confident in the Packers. I think they – you just go out and try to win the division and don't be a seventh seed. And I don't – I guess I don't see huge changes. I think Goody believes enough in the group that he has in them getting better. Am I wrong?
Well, the quote – no, you're not wrong. The quote that he said, it's time we start competing for championships, tells you he thinks he's got – a pretty strong nucleus in place. Like, I mean, that, you know, if you listen to his postseason press conference, like, you're right on, Homer. Like, that's exactly what he's saying. Now, it doesn't mean he doesn't think that he needs to add, you know, guys here and there, but this was part of his plan, the building of this team to be, to return a lot of guys. And they return almost everybody. You know, the three pseudo important guys are the kicker, the center, and TJ Slayton. And you could probably live without most of those guys. I think you need the kicker.
Yeah, it feels like – and Jordan Morgan was another one of the guys you mentioned, that position, how that's going to shake out. And obviously we saw when Elgton Jenkins went out, it was a complete blank show out there.
No good.
Does Josh Myers come back, in your opinion? What do you think is going to happen there? Because there's no doubt they're going to draft a young offensive lineman that they feel can play relatively quickly and then hope that Jordan Morgan is healthy and can be one of those interior guys.
Well, and the other thing, too, is they did draft Jacob Monk in the fifth round last year as a pure center.
But they didn't even put him out there at the end of the year when they needed a center.
No, I know. Their history would tell you that they probably move on and they probably give Josh Myers the John Runyon treatment. However, because of what we talked about with so few must re-sign free agents, I talked to an offensive line coach in the league about Josh Myers, and he said, you know, the one thing you can't underestimate is how comfortable Jordan Love feels with Josh Myers. Like, that you cannot, you know, that's a thing that doesn't show up on the PFF grades. And all that stuff is the comfort.
But does Goody care about that?
Well, that's a good point. But, you know, if they value that, then Josh Myers becomes maybe a little bit more important than, you know, your garden variety inside interior offensive line.
At the right price, right? I mean, that's what that's going to come down to.
Right. Yeah. Well, sometimes, Tom, though, they decide that at no price they're going to bring guys back. So
they don't even offer. Right.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Micah Hyde is a great example of it. Micah, who just announced his retirement. Like, there was no price for Micah Hyde. They didn't want to bring him back, which, you know, we all know how that turned out.
So, Rob, I got, you know, the boys at KVN got after me because I looked at the back end of this season. I liked what I saw. I thought this defense improved a lot. I like heading into next season. Yes, we all want more pass rush. No doubt they're going to look for a starting corner. But how would you assess this defense under Jeff Hafley? If you're giving it the unit a grade for really the back half of this season, this defense is good enough to win, or do you think there's too many holes?
No, it's definitely good enough to win. Is it good enough to win when the offense isn't up to par? Like, they can win with it. Can they win because of it? You know what I mean? The difference there, Tausch? They can win. Certainly they can win with this defense. I think what we have to find out is, can they win because of it on a consistent basis? I think if you're grading it, it's a B+ type of year. But I caution the idea, and it's a little bit like what Jordan Love went through at the end of last season. Like, everyone thought, wow, he finished last season on a tear. That just means that he's going to be even better in year two. Doesn't necessarily mean just because the Jeff Hafley changeover went really well that all of a sudden it's going to take another jump in year two. Like that's not a guarantee. I do think there's a solid fundamental there. There's a solid baseline. But, you know, it's just not an automatic that they're going to have 33 takeaways or 31 takeaways again next year. Like, that's not a given.
No doubt about it. All right, Rob, before we let you go, I got two more things for you. Jim, Matt, and Molly, great show on here on ESPN Madison from 4 to 6, asked a really good question yesterday. Which member of the Packers' big three is best at their job? You only get one. Jordan Love, LaFleur, or Goody. Who would you pick in that poll?
Oof.
Yeah, good question.
It's really good. I'm gonna do the, what is it, the, you can eliminate the 50-50 on the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I'll eliminate Jordan Love because we haven't seen it enough yet.
Okay.
My gut tells me I'm going to go with LaFleur because he's won fairly successfully with two different quarterbacks. So I guess I'm going to lean, you know, they hired Matt LaFleur to get Aaron Rodgers back to being an MVP caliber player. He did it. They transitioned to the next quarterback. They made the playoffs 2 years in a row. So by a close margin, I'm going to give it to LaFleur over Goody.
Wow. Very interesting. All right. And last one, since this
I pick Goody.
I'm picking Goody too, but I love the fact that Rob laid it out the way he did.
But only because Goody's been hot the last couple of years, not as a result of his entire tenure.
Well, and this offseason's big, what he does, free agent, draft. They're all big. Sleeper, we do our Steinhoffel sleepers every Friday. Yep. Who is your sleeper on this roster from year one to year two will make an impact? Who would your Steinhoffel sleeper, as we sit here the end of January, who makes that big jump coaches always talk about that we'll be talking about that maybe we're not talking about much right now?
So it has to be someone who was a rookie this past season?
I'm going to give you a young player that didn't have a monster impact that will have a big impact next season.
The one I guess I'm most intrigued with, Tausch, is
Marshawn
Lloyd.
Hopper.
Yeah, Marshawn Lloyd.
Marshawn Lloyd. Maybe it's just because we saw the baseline so low because he did nothing. But I think he's got a real chance. Now, maybe he's going to be one of these guys that's hurt all the time and we never see it. And sometimes that happens with guys. But to me, he's got big, big upside. So I'm going to go with Marshawn Lloyd, even though Josh Jacobs is still going to get, you know, the bulk of the work next year, as he should. I think Marshawn Lloyd could be a, you know, I hate this term, but an X factor on offense.
No doubt about it. Rob, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your takes. Keep it up. Keep up the great work. Have a great weekend.
All right. We'll be seeing you.
You bet. And that was Rob's sleeper. I'm going to get homers after this, too. But Steinhoffel's always gives us their great sleepers. And Steinhoffel's is celebrating the opening of its Orland Park Furniture and Mattress Showroom with its biggest President's Day sale yet. Spend $19.99 and you get a $100 airline gift card. $29.99, you get a $200 airline gift card. $39.99, and you get a $300 airline gift card. Plus, take advantage of Steinhoffel's 18-month 0% financing. Shop in store or go online at steinhoffels.com. Homer and I both agree it's Goody. Great poll by Jim, Matt, and Molly yesterday. I want to dig into that a little bit more, and we got to get moving because, again, the clock is not our friend here on Wildy and Tausch. We'll be back in 4.5 minutes. It is Wildy and Tausch. Back at it here from the Pickler up in Green Bay. We're excited for the grand opening tomorrow. I'll be doing a ribbon cutting. Homer, you ever do any ribbon cuttings?
No, I've never been asked to cut any ribbon in my life.
All right, awesome. We just did our Steinhoffels, and we love Steinhoffels.
I didn't know how that was awesome, but I didn't want to.
Well, I was just trying to move the ball forward.
Oh, okay.
Great. Right. You're 70-some years old, whatever. Who are the players? Because for these teams, you know, for teams to take jumps from being a playoff team to winning a Super Bowl, You get rookies in there that make big impacts, and we don't know who those rookies are going to be yet. But the Eagles are a great example. Cooper DeJean. What's their corner's name? Quintavion Walker, Quintavion Lewis?
Quinyon Mitchell.
Quinyon Mitchell. I was
yeah,
close.
Toledo guy.
Big, big impact young players. Rob brought up Marshawn Lloyd. I totally agree. His rookie season, basically a wash. We didn't see him. Explosive runs is going to be something that we need more of as a Packers offense. Who would we put? Because I want to get a poll in the field. Marshawn Lloyd will be in there. I think Monk. Who do we need to see take a step that did not have much of an impact as a first or second year player that we need to see take that jump? Brenton Cox. Who is it for you, Homer, that you think we need to see make a big jump?
I would say Evan Williams, but maybe he's done too much already. If not, I'm stealing this from the scouting bureau of Tim Van Voren, which is very good. Okay. Tyron Hopper. He kept saying,
"Hops,
watch this guy, watch this guy." So I will say that he will be the one who no one has heard of that will learn about. Because people have heard of Evan Williams, I think.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, I don't think we could say Lucas Van Ness. He's going into his third year. We assumed, I really thought we'd see a big jump this year with him. We didn't. He is going to be counted on, especially depending on what Goody does in free agency. So we'll put that in the field. We'll put Hopper. We'll put Monk. We'll put
Does Musgrave qualify?
Ooh, yes, that'd be good. He really a lost season for him, right?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any wideouts that we can really look. We kind of know who their guys are. It's whether or not they're going to make the jump. We'll find that out as well. And we'll put that poll in the field. We still got another segment in the 10 o'clock hour we have to hit. But before that, opening up a pickleball place, watching the Senior Bowl, whatever you're doing this weekend, you know what makes it chill? Grab yourself a Coors Light, brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold package, and it is cold filtered, so it is made to chill, and it is getting warm out, 40, 50 degrees. Make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know Coors Light is chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Homer, I want to hit on, you're putting some stuff out there on Giannis that Bucks fans don't like. I don't know who your sources are.
My sources are me.
Well, okay, hopefully it's more than that, but
no, it's me.
I want to hear your thought. Okay, well then maybe we don't need to go down that road. But I do want to hear more about your thought process on why you think Bucks fans should enjoy this season, because you think some stuff's coming on the horizon.
No, it's 50-50. This is his last year.
I'm trying to tease out.
That's how
you
I tease.
Business.
I know. I don't tease like that. I tease with the story.
I do.
Because
you didn't want to run. Hey, you didn't want to run the show.
I turned the mic off. I'm turning the mic off. You're right. I'm turning the mic off.
Next. It is a beautiful day. I'm up in Green Bay at the new Pickler indoor pickleball facility. Could not be more excited. Homer,
how many courts do they have?
Seven. There'll be seven courts all laid out. We got a little bit of cleaning up to do here before tomorrow's grand opening at 11. Going to play a bunch of pickleball tomorrow afternoon. Have you gotten into pickleball yet, or are you still hanging on to tennis?
No, I've played a little pickleball, but I don't play that much. I probably should play more. It's a great game. I hope they take a lot of the tennis courts in Milwaukee and turn them into pickleball courts.
They will.
And it would be a great way to get young kids to possibly consider playing tennis, because everybody can play pickleball, and you could start it in first grade, second grade. It's a great game.
And it's as you're seeing more and more in gym classes. There's younger players. It's on TV. I've said this for, I think, 10 years, definitely since this show started. I've been playing for about a decade. It's going to continue to grow, and it will be an Olympic sport in the near future. Olympians, speaking of Olympians, Giannis. Homer, I know some people on Twitter are saying, are you two okay? This is what we do. I love you, Steve the Homer True. You're a hilarious young man. You have crazy thoughts. Sometimes I couldn't disagree more. You are an absolutist, which drives me nuts when you're 100% and zero. But with all that said, you are standing on the table talking about Giannis. And anytime Giannis's name comes up, I'm intrigued. Give us your take on Giannis.
People need to realize that the stories that come out, ESPN has had some of them, have to be considered accurate. There is a legitimate, I say 50-50, as to what Giannis. Now, please understand, Giannis determines everything that he has. It doesn't matter. Giannis decides everything over the owners, the coach, the GM. And if after this year the Bucks decide, and their players are old, to move on or take another approach, Giannis can easily say, I'm not interested. I want to go somewhere else, and they will trade him somewhere else. So if there's an attempt to regroup, or Giannis isn't happy with what's left with the team or doesn't think they have a good enough chance, all of which are very possible, then he's gone after this year. And the reason I mention it is because it's legitimate, and if you love Giannis, you should go to as many games as you can. Not that he's guaranteed leaving, but it's 50-50, given all the factors, how good the team is, how good it will be next year, how would they decide to rebuild. And that bothers some people, and I'm just trying to help, and that the people that get mad, so be it. But everybody needs to understand that there is a flip of the coin possibility that he's gone after this year, because he wants to move on.
What triggered you to make this statement, and what makes you think that that is? Because 50-50, coin toss, nobody wants coin tosses when you're talking about a franchise guy like Giannis. Why are you talking about this right now?
Well, because the reality of where the team is and what they have to decide after this year is, again,
Giannis got 4 years left on his deal.
Again, rule one.
Dame's
rule
got four
one.
Years left.
Contract means nothing.
I understand. You think this team is going to have to break up completely and he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild. Is that part of what you're thinking?
Correct. Or the degree and how they rebuild. Maybe they try to keep Giannis and maybe Lillard stays and then they try to add one more player. Rule one, the contract means nothing.
Okay, I'll join that club.
So now Giannis has to decide. Does he want to be with the team, given the team next year? And that's to be determined. But that is the situation, and that's all that matters. Giannis could easily say, well, I'm definitely coming back next year. I'm not sure that would be true because he doesn't know what the team is going to be. They're old. They have old players. They're going to move on. What are they going to do? Who are they going to add
this year? Can they win a championship?
No.
Well, then what's going to change?
Well, the question isn't, I don't think they can, but Giannis might. The question is, Giannis happy with the team? Does he think the team is good enough that he wants to stick around? I think he believes, and the issue really now, this year is all about Middleton and how healthy he is. But I would think Giannis is willing to give it a shot. The biggest issue for the Bucks this year, and it's the same every year, is Giannis has to be healthy. Giannis hasn't been healthy in the playoffs the last 2 years, and they can't win unless he's healthy. He has to be healthy. Damian Lillard has to be healthy. So that's the most important thing. But it's all about how happy Giannis is with the team next year versus what other options are out there. And every team is out there because Giannis is in charge.
So if you are a betting man, and I know you are, is Giannis on this Bucks team
October
of next year?
Right. I've said on Twitter that I bet $100 with somebody, and I say he's coming back.
Okay.
Part of that is because I want him to come back. I like everything about Giannis. But I understand that it's that close, and I won't bet anymore. I've bet 100. If I really believed it, I'd be willing to bet a lot of money that he's coming back, and I can't because the dynamic is such that he's in charge, and I don't know how he's going to feel at the end of this year based on what they've done, which may be not much, or what they decide to do for next year.
Very depressing. But it is, I mean, you have to figure out the next window. Can you win a championship? Because if you have Giannis, you always feel like you got a shot. But
yes.
Giannis has to feel that same way.
Right.
And so I get what you're saying, but I think most Bucks fans feel like when he signed that extension, that he was going to be here another 4 or 5 years. And I think your point is very fair. NBA superstars live by their own rules. They say right. they want to go. They're going to go. And they'll. You're seeing that with Jimmy Butler. You're seeing it with other. And Giannis is obviously a level above those guys. So we shall see. I hope Homer is wrong. I hope it's not a coin flip. I hope Giannis finishes his
I just hope
here.
People go to more games.
Well, people are still going to Bucks games.
They need – what if Giannis – what I'm telling you is what if Giannis said this is my last year? Would you go to more games? That's the number of games you need to be going okay. to this year. As
you
if
want a
Giannis
sense of
said,
urgency from Bucks fans is what you're
yes,
asking.
Yes, I'm trying to help them.
Okay. Well, you're a helper. That's one of the things you do. after the break here, I want to ask Homer because Cam Newton said some very interesting things on First Take yesterday about whether he'd rather be the MVP Cam Newton or Super Bowl champion, which he never was able to get. And I want to get Homer's take on that. We will do that in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.